scriptures that establish our living and the having of God's help into doing it. Now, I started into it. The first one that I have is, I will not fear. God is always with me. And then I had a number of impromptu things that came up, and I never really did even complete the I will not fear, God is always with me. And you'll see in each one of these, it says God is always, and then other words follow. But if you'll turn to Psalm 16, and what this is, I'm not developing extensive thoughts. I'm not organizing my thoughts about it into any particular form. I'm simply wanting to establish scriptures that support the fact that we need not fear because God is always with us. Now, we need not fear. That doesn't mean we won't fear. We are but flesh, okay? And therefore, even though with our mind we know the scriptures I'm going to read, that doesn't mean in our weakness that we won't fear. But that's the reason God gives us scriptures, to help us to know differently. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We need not fear because God is always with us. We need not be concerned that whatever it is that we're fearing, that it's going to devastate us. It might, but it doesn't have to. Look at Psalm 23. Now, we're all familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I remember I elaborated on that verse last week, which I'm not going to do today. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We need not fear because God is always with us. Now, when fear begins to overtake us, that's when we need to pray. That's when we need to isolate ourselves from whatever the circumstance or condition or situation that is causing us to fear. We must isolate ourselves from it and to the Word of God. Now, one of the things that a comment pastor made before the service that brought it to my mind, I looked up about 18 Bible verses that have to do with comfort, grief, mourning. I typed them out. They're on both sides of a 6x9 sheet of paper. And I did bold type on the parts of the verses that spoke especially to me, or in some cases were a promise that I claimed. The very first one is from the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And they shall be. Doesn't say might be. Doesn't even say will be. Says shall be. It's going to happen.
That's good.
And so each day I'll read several of the verses on that paper.
Amen.
Sometimes with tears, And other times I just read them, but always I claim them.
Amen.
And with Matthew and the Beatitudes, I say, God, you promised, you said, I shall be comforted. Today I expressed, I don't know how that comfort is going to come. I don't know what I'll feel or if I'll even feel something. But you promised you would comfort me, and I am claiming that promise. And so when emotions want to take over, you see, that's when I'll reach for that piece of paper. Now, I read it every morning, but there's times where I'll go through the day and then I'll reach for that piece of paper and I'll read another verse on it. And so here he says, I will fear no evil. Whatever the situation, the circumstance, the condition that would cause you to be fearful, isolate yourself from it. Find scriptures that would speak to that condition or that need and read them and claim them. We don't get things by osmosis. Now, osmosis, you know, oh man, science was not one of my strong points. But osmosis, I think, is when you got one thing here and one thing here, and this one here just sort of squeezes into the other one. Okay, I'm getting a few nods that will accept it. All right, listen, you don't just read them in the sense like you would read the newspaper or read the Facebook. You don't just read the verse and it's somehow going to come into you. No. You have got to think about it. You have got to claim it. And then in whatever manner you need to go about doing it. It isn't always easy to know how to go about doing it. But we can do it. And then in Psalm 73... Psalm 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Now, this is not God being with him. This is David being with God. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. God's holding David's right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, receive me to glory. God is always with us. He holds us by his right hand. One place that I read, I think yesterday it was, it asked a question. We always hear about God's right hand. How come we never hear about his left hand? I didn't even read what the response was, okay? I was at the website for something else, so I didn't even take the time to read the writer's response. But the emphasis of the right hand is the hand of strength, the hand of authority. Now, if you're a lefty, God's not against left-handed people, okay? It's just the fact that the right hand is considered the hand of strength, the hand of direction, the hand of leadership. And it tells us here, thou hast holden me by my right hand, the psalmist's right hand, but God's holding the psalmist. And so he's always with us. Matthew chapter 28, and verse 20, very familiar scripture, so familiar, I'm going to turn to it to read it, lest I quote it wrongly. Matthew 28, 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, here's the part we want. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, I noticed when I read it, it says always. It doesn't say always. Okay? And I tried to do a quick search on the distinction, and all of the usual resource books didn't have anything to say. I didn't turn to any commentaries on it to find out what they said, because I figured they weren't going to be any more help to me than what my own situation was. But nevertheless, what I did learn is that there's a time element involved with the word always, okay? But that it also is a time element as it applies to circumstances or conditions. And so I will not fear, because God is always with me. And he's shown this in several scriptures. Now the next one is, I will not doubt. God is always in control. I will not doubt, because God is always in control. Now here again, when doubt begins to come over you regarding some issue or some situation or some condition or some problem or whatever, you can know with your head, okay? But let me tell you, it's getting what you know put into actual daily living. And that's why we're looking at some scriptures. Now, there's other scriptures that I have. I just don't want to take that much time to look at them all. But God is always in control. What I wrote in my paper here is trust instead of doubt. Okay? Yeah. That's spot on, isn't it? But let me tell you, when you're doubting in something, here again, what you know up here, that you should trust instead of doubting, it's getting, what do we say, for the rubber to meet the road, okay? And, there's a good prayer that's in Mark chapter 9. Let's turn to it. Mark chapter 9. Now, the actual passage is verse 14 to verse 29. The setting is one of the multitude, one of the many people that were there hearing Jesus, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Later in the passage, it says deaf also. So he was deaf and dumb. And he had taken his son to the apostles, and they were not able to help him. And so in verse 24, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We know that, right? How come we don't get everything that we know? Because getting it from the facts that we know into the experience of living, that's the challenge in life. That's where the application, that's where the use of the Holy Spirit comes into play. Don't browbeat yourself because something that you know you're not able to just go lolly, you know, jumping around, you know, absolutely under the spell of it. Look at Jesus' answer, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out, Jesus said, believe, anything you believe, it's possible. And the father cried out, pleaded in an audible voice and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now that's a prayer in the Bible that you can take and literally pray. When you're facing a situation, a condition, whether it's fear, remember God's always with you, or whether it's doubt, remember God's always in control. And when you cannot seem to get it together, then just tell God, I need your help. I believe, but Lord, I'm fearful. I have too much unbelief about this. Please work in me. Do whatever it takes to change me. Change me. Me. I need to be changed. As I'm going through this grieving experience, you know, one of the passages that I've typed out is, I think it's 2 Corinthians. I typed it out. You think I'd remember it. 2 Corinthians, where it says, we are comforted of God that we may be able to comfort others. And I've prayed. I said, Lord, I want to go through this. I need help. And I want your help. But Lord, I know that you will be able to use me then to help someone else. Through my many years of pastoring, I was able to be involved with various widows and widowers. Everything that I said to them was true. I believed everything that I said. But I had never experienced what I said. I said it to them at a time of deep grief. When I would walk out of their house, get in my car, and go home to my wife. You can count on it. Next time I talk with somebody who's lost a loved one,
come on,
it's going to be from an altogether different,
yes, sir,
experience. You see, I've worked with a number of troubled people. Some of them had been in jail. Everything I said to them was true. Everything I said to them they needed to hear. But I never walked in their shoes. That's why when Dale takes the same things I said and he says them, there's more effect. Why? Because he's walked in their shoes. And so, help thou mine unbelief. Listen, we may as well admit it to God. I believe, but apparently, Lord, I have too much unbelief. You know, if you and I were talking, Peter asked if I need the lapel mic, and I said, no, I think with this message, I'll be right at the pulpit. That's why when I started to leave, I came back. I forgot where I was at. I did, honestly. I forgot where I was at. What's that? Oh, yes. You may as well tell God because he knows it. You know, if you and I, that's where I was, thank you. If you and I are talking, I might be a little reluctant to let you know that I'm not as strong as you think I am. I might be reluctant to let you know that that is a weak area in my Christian life. And I understand why we do that. Now, there's a wrong way in having that kind of an outlook, okay? There can be a hypocritical way. But again, you know, we're so hard on each other. I can understand why we don't want to project failure. We want to project strength. And therefore, okay, but listen, with God, you may as well just go ahead and tell him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, because he knows everything just like it is. And so, go ahead and pray. Help thou mine unbelief. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this is familiar. Again, another familiar passage, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, why do you think he said trust in the Lord with all our heart? Because he knew there were situations where people trusted God, but not with all the heart. That's why he put it in there. He knows we trust him, but he also knows it isn't with all our heart. Not all of the time. Not in everything. I don't want to take away from you some place of strength or victory that you have. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Boy, that's good. Amen. That's rich. That's the truth, brother. You can count on it. You can take what that says to the bank. But we don't, because help my unbelief. And here's the thing that I need to remind myself. If it helps you, then you can take it and remind yourself. But I need to remind myself that God can overrule circumstances. When I look and I see what's going on, I see what's there, I see what's happening, I'm prone to get frightened in that situation. And that's when doubts can begin to come in. But listen, God can overrule the circumstances I'm thinking of. Well, let me give you one that I'm dealing with currently. I'm praying on this. I'm asking God to give me wisdom. You think of this when you pray for me and want to ask him for wisdom, that's good. Now, when Pat was here and became at least semi-invalid, I've been using the term housebound, I was there to take care of her. So now I'm thinking to myself, if I get into that kind of physical condition, who's going to be there to take care of me? No one. I have one daughter that lives nearby. She works a full-time job and needs to work a full-time job. And so there I am. At best, Pat could use the walker. Sometimes she couldn't use the walker, or I had to go with her in case she got unsteady. She couldn't make her food. I had to make it. If I get into that kind of condition, who's going to take care of me? Well, now the bottom line of the matter is, and I talked this over with Pat. I've already talked it over with our daughter that lives nearby. I'll have to go into a nursing home or at least an assisted living facility. That's a nice, that's a step or two up, okay, from the nursing home, assisted living. You gonna still be down at the Pines?
Quit.
You quit?
She's working in Cuba. You have to come to Cuba.
Oh, I have to come to Cuba. Well, I don't care where I'm at, you know. I'm stuck to a chair and a bed. Pardon?
You can move to Peter's house.
To Peter's house? He just gave me a thumbs up.
In his old room.
Yeah. Well, now, we don't have a lot to leave our children. So one of the things that Pat especially was concerned with was that when we die, the house goes to the kids. There's four of them. And I forget what the details of the distribution of it is, because she wanted the grandchildren to have some benefit too. Well, now if I go into a nursing home, the house won't be available for them. Because, you know, the state's taking care of you, therefore they get what you possess. You know, there's a way in which that's understandable and reasonable. Now, the good side of social government is they're going to take care of me. They want to control everything in my life. Okay, let them take care of me. Now, you know, we can debate that whole issue. You know, wait till you're where I am. And then you debate it with me. Okay. But here's the thing. In the New York, state of New York, there's a 5-year look back period. I can give my house or sell it for a minimal amount to my children, but it has to be done at least 5 years before I would go into nursing home. So I'm praying, God, give me wisdom. When do I need to deal with this? How do I need to go about this? My first step is going to be to go to, and I have an attorney that I use in Olean, to talk to an attorney and get some legal input on these matters. But now listen, God can overrule those circumstances, and I don't mean the 5-year look back period, but the circumstance of my trying to, I wake up at 5 a.m. I get up at 5 a.m. and go to the bathroom. Then I want to go back to bed. Only my mind has started working. Oh, I have said, oh Lord, help me to turn my mind off. One of the things that I'll go over are the details of what I just described and the implementation of that situation. No parent wants to be a burden to their children. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, if I get into a condition that warrants care, but I also would like to do what Pat wanted to do, and that is leave something out of our whole life to the kids. So you think about me, oh Lord, help him while he's grieving, help him not be so sad. Please keep praying that, okay? But here's another thing now you can pray, wisdom for me to know how to go about, amen, when to go about such matters.
Yes, sir.
And so, but God can overrule and override the circumstances to bring into effect what's needed. I know one thing I don't want to do is say, well, I'm strong. I'll probably be all right. I don't think I'll end up in her condition. No, I could end up like my brother who had Alzheimer's and for 2 years was bedridden. No, you see, I won't necessarily end up like Pat. I could end up worse.
Yeah.
So I have to make choices now.
That's right.
For that future time. I can't wait. I cannot procrastinate. I have become my evaluation, the king of procrastinators. I never was, but I have become it. But I cannot with this one. Okay? All right, there you go. God can overcome circumstances. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. God is always in control. We live by faith. We don't live by the circumstances. We live by dependence on God. I said trust God, trust instead of doubt. Another term for trust is depend. So you depend on God instead of self. All right.
Dude, don't turn that off. Would you do this? Would you, Scott that comes here sometimes with Shane, he's in a hospital bed. His sister asked that we pray while the camera was still on for him, and if you pray for Jessica also.
Okay, sure. Father in heaven, we do bring before you Scotty Wagner and his sister Jessica. We ask you, Father, to intervene on behalf of the needs that both of them have, and Scotty in particular right now with the health conditions that he is dealing with. Give him wisdom. Give the doctors insight and understanding on how best to treat his needs. And we'll thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right.
Brother David is going to be here at Black Creek in the morning.